Well, if you would, go ahead and open your Bibles with me, the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 10. Well, on the Gospel of John, chapter 10, everybody say, if you would go ahead and stand with me in chapter 10, we're going to look at a couple of verses this morning. I'm going to talk about heaven's door this morning. I've been thinking about something else. I was going to work on something else, and the school kept me so busy, I just went back to the basic what I need to go back to. But I hope this you get a blessing out of this message this morning. Chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep heareth his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your love and your kindness, Lord God, and thank you for being a great shepherd that you are, Father. God, we thank you for loving us and seeing the need of mankind and the eternal destiny of man of on our way to hell, Father. But you loved us and you care for us, and you provide the means, Lord God, and you showed your love toward us while we're yet sinners. You died for us, Lord, and God, I just want to tell you as a church, we thank you for your love and your kindness, and we thank you for meeting with us this morning, Lord, and I thank you for the music was sung, Lord, the music to challenge our hearts, to soothe our souls, Lord God, and each one of us, Father, have got struggles and trials in our life. Lord, I ask you, the Holy Spirit, to speak to hearts now, Father, to settle the minds and the souls, and be attentive to your word, Father. Lord, I ask you now to bless the reading of your word, Lord, and help us to ponder these truths, Lord, that you gave us. And help us, Lord, to walk away this morning closer to you and challenge, Lord, to change in our lives, to be closer to you. But God, I pray, Lord, that everything be done this morning, we receive honor and glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Can you imagine yourself walking along the side of a road and there's a large wall, and as you walk, you notice that you can't see over it, and the wall is nothing spectacular about it, but it just separates you. And in Spain, they have a lot of walls, and especially in Africa, they have walls. A lot of time you can't see on the other side for protection and security. But can you imagine you're hearing people on the other side? I've been many times, I've heard on the other side people talking, and you're wondering what's kind of curiosity, what's going on the other side and take place. And you can hear happy people, you can hear people laughing, there's people with joy, and people are, you know, just kind of having a good time, and you kind of curiosity again, it gets your mind, but eventually you kind of want to get on the other, get to the end where the door is, so you can kind of peek through the gate or see what's going on in life and see what's going on inside that wall. But they notice you come to this wall, though the wall is on, the door is unlocked, and all you do is get in, and the question is, when you reach that door, what do you do? Do you go in or not? And the reason I'm saying that question, you say, preacher, that don't make any sense, or what does it matter? But the thing is this, guys, that many people today are searching in life and are looking for joy. They're looking for peace. And they're hearing things take place on that other side of the wall. You notice that wall on that other side is no different than on the other side of reality. If it rains, it rains on that side, it rains on this side. If it snows on this side, it's going to snow on this side. If a storm comes, it hits both sides. But the question is, the joy on this side of the wall, there seemed to be a lot more happier and joy in life and peace in life. But on this side of the wall, you still go through the storms of life, but there's difference. And the people who are walking this world today are living a life that they're looking to have that joy and peace, what Christianity has, but they don't have it. There's a wall separating them. And when they find themselves at the wall, the question is, what are they going to do when they get there? I remember before I got saved, I was, you know, noticing Christians in their lives. They were happy. They were going through struggles. And, you know, something took place. They said, well, bless God. You know, God's going to do good. And don't worry about it. They said, well, they lose their job. They're still praising God. They're still going to church. And, you know, their family members dies. And they were praising God. And it just, there was a difference in their life than in my life. And I can, you know, it's like an imaginary wall really separating me, where they had peace, but I didn't have peace. They had joy, and I didn't have that joy. They all go through struggles, but there was something, a difference about that imaginary wall that separated us. But when I came face to face to that door, and I knew there was an opportunity for me to get saved, I made that choice, and I didn't stop from going through that door. Listen, you come to that door in your life, you can go in or you can go out. Listen, it's a choice. You can keep on searching and walking around for another means. But when I got there, listen, I knew I wanted that door. Nothing was going to stop me from going to find that door. I wanted to get in. It was the most important thing in my life. I needed it. Before you leave this morning, I want you to know what this door is and who this door is. And where the door is located at. Because the thing is, I've walked past that door in my life many, many times in my life. And the door is not spectacular, and there's nothing great about the door. It's just, there's a wall, there's a door entrance in there, but the basic thing is in my life, I passed that door and never saw the door. Sometime I've stopped and turned around, I might have lit up a cigarette and talked with friends, and the door is behind me and kept on walking. Sometimes I walked by the door and I was so occupied about other things in the world and I missed the door. That entrance to that door, I kept on going and I looked, there's a wall again. People are always searching, and I wonder how many times I've come across that door and I didn't see it because I was preoccupied on the other side. But yet I was wondering how to get on the other side. He tells us how we can. Look at verse 9. This is our text, 9 and 10 this morning, our text. He goes, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. But the first part of verse 9, it says, I am the door. Listen, the door is a person. That person is Jesus Christ. He boldly says that he is the door. Listen, the sheepfold or the what is usually a circular entrance. It could be a brick wall or a rock wall, and it's in a circular motion. It could be rectangle, and there's just an opening in that wall where they brought the sheep in, and it was like a wall that protected them from the outside of the animals. They kept them in, and this was an opening for only one access. And when all the sheep gather in, the shepherd would lay himself between the door, the gate itself, where the door would be, and nothing can get in and pass through. Him because he lay there. He put himself in the position for the entrance of that sheepfold. And the thing is this, he goes, I am the door. Jesus Christ is the door, and there's no way to get in without him. Verse 10, verse 1, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you that he entereth not by the door in the sheepfold, but climbeth some up some other way, he says, is a thief and a robber. And he merely makes a clear statement. He goes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And when I was at this meeting, there was a woman said this statement, and it bothered me, and it's something that just all week it stuck me, and I couldn't shake it off. And she goes, we're all Christians, but we're not all Christians. Because I started talking to people, and I started to understand who they are, and their apostolic doctrines or some other this, and they believe in salvation in Jesus plus this. My friend, they're not Christians. They're not saved, because it's only Christ. He's the only way. He didn't say Jesus the way and this and this and this. It's only one door. He didn't say the door in the window or a door underneath. It's just the door. It was one entrance. You had to go through Christ. Truth is narrow. Yes, I mean, we all, listen, they're good people, they're moral people. They probably have some moral standard values than some of you guys got. They have high standards, but they're not saved because they're trusting Christ and plus something else. It's an abomination what they're doing. They're not truth. Jesus Christ says, I am the way. No, truth is narrow. It's that one entrance, only by Him. And the thing is we as Christians in the Grace Baptist Church, we have the truth, and we need to really look at it, because people are walking by that wall, that door, and they walk and walk, and they really want to get on the other side, but they don't know how to get in, and they don't see that door. It's just a plain door, just a plain entrance, and it's Christ.
But they look, everybody's telling them, oh, it's down there. It's over there. It's over there. But it's just there. There. I mean, I thought about, was talking to some men this last night after prayer meeting about our little boys and girls grow up in Africa or South America. Just a kid. You know, they, like any other kid, they run, learn how to walk and stumble, and they learn how to eat and use their hands, and they learn how to survive, they learn how to hunt, and you know, how to provide the means of working or whatever labor they do, and they're just kids that are growing up and maturing. They may find a wife, or she may find a husband, and they love each other. They have a relation, and they have other children, and they're trying to raise their children the best means, and they grow up and live up 60, 80 years old and never accept Jesus Christ. They die and go to a devil's hell because they never found the door. He says, I am the door. And it really started bothering me. Salvation is not by baptism. I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir. But I'm trying to get you to understand some truth. That you know these truths. It better start burning your hearts and looking out the world around you. People don't know these simple truths. I mean, I suggest we all should go out tonight, this afternoon after church, and get some chairs and watch the cars go by and just watch how many people are leading up and down these roads and wonder who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. They're all going to different churches and all going different things. And the question is, are they preachers in the churches teaching truth? Because they're not. A lot of them are not. This place is churched, but not Bible churched. They're teaching there's goodness and life and all that, but it's not Jesus, it's not the blood. Church membership won't do it for you. Ritualism or religion won't do it for you. There's only one plan of salvation, and it's the finished work of Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He did it. He paid for it. I mean, it's only Him. It's that shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. His truth is narrow. He's the only way. I'm the truth and life. Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And it says, confess your mouth that you've been baptized or you did this. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With a heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with a mouth confession is made. It's a change in sign. Say, you know what? You did it, Christ. You, Jesus Christ, you died on the cross. You paid it. You raised. You're in heaven now. You're alive. You're not on the cross. You're not on a crucifix. You're in the right-hand throne of God. You can hear my voice. You can hear my cry. You can save me. It's only by you. Church couldn't save me. That, you know, when I ran down the aisle to get saved, I literally ran down the aisle and I saw the preacher. And listen, it what really bothered me is that he couldn't do nothing for me. The church couldn't do nothing for me. It was only Jesus. And I needed Him. How can I find Him? Somebody had to show me the way. There's neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's none other way. There's good people. You may know a lot of people, or maybe a Catholic or a Methodist or a Presbyterian, Episcopal. Listen, I know we know a lot of good people, but if they're not trusting the blood of Jesus Christ only, they're not saved. Listen, I got family members I love in my heart, and I will cry and beg God to deal with heart, but if they don't trust Jesus, that's it. There's no other way, because He is the door. That's the truth. And you have the truth. You have the truth. What are you doing with it? Does it burn your heart? The people around you don't have it. And they're passing that door. And you're watching them walk by. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul said this. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, go get baptized. He didn't say go join a good independent fundamental hailstone, brimstone, fire Baptist church. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The biggest question is this, have you went through the door? Have you really went through the door? That's the most important. You can say a prayer all day long. You say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, and I want to go to heaven. But folks, you've got to believe in your heart that He did die on the cross. You've got to believe that you're lost and on your way to hell. You've got to really see the desperation need of saying, Lord, save me. Please save me. And cry out to Him and trust Him. And put your faith in what He did. That is salvation.
I want you to notice, look at 9 again. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Notice the proposal of the door. That's the what? The lips of Jesus Christ is a tremendous offering to give sinners salvation. Listen, our hope is everyone, a wandering life of sin, they can be saved. Listen, he wants everybody. Notice that the extent of his call is to any man. I mean, it's to any man. Doesn't matter who you are. Black, white, green, purple, fat, ugly, don't matter. Any man. Don't matter how wicked you are. And Miss Pam, what's that prison? Angola? I imagine some bad, bad, wicked men. And y'all know. But God can reach and save that soul. It don't matter how wicked it can be. If they were willing to take Jesus Christ. Listen, it's a tremendous offer to sinners. He would never force nobody to be saved. He gives opportunities to come. You can walk by that door, but he doesn't force you. He doesn't drag you. He doesn't push you. The door is open, but you have to come in. Salvation is not a club for the elite saints. It ain't just for a certain group and certain status of people. It's for everybody. That means the wicked, vile sinner to the good, moral guy. But reality, we're all wicked compared to God. But in the standard of mankind, or of goodness of mankind, don't matter if you're a rich man like Donald Trump or somebody like that, or just a poor beggar, it's all the same. You got to go through the door. Any man. No person alive today can't reach salvation without. Look at Revelation 22, verse 17 says this. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Holy Spirit of God say, come. The Spirit of God is drawing men and say, come. The Bride is the church. Say, come. Come. Listen, we say come by our personal testimony, the way we live our life. We go soul winning, how we try to convince people. Well, the Bride should be saying, come. Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. But it doesn't stop there. It says, and let him that heareth. Let him that heareth say, come. Even the ones that don't accept in Jesus Christ. He said, if you hear it and you don't know the truth, still tell them to come. It doesn't matter who's talking. Remember Paul said, some preach against me because of envy and strife to be, preach Christ. And some because they love me. It doesn't matter, but preach Jesus Christ. That's the means. God says, come. If you don't want him, still tell him to come. There's a means, there's a way to be saved. Come. John chapter 6, verse 37. John chapter 6, verse 37 says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Ain't it good that we can come to him and he won't cast us out? Ain't it good? He says, the Father give me, no means I will cast him out. I want him. He wants you. Think about your vile. Look who you are. Really, compare yourself to God and your pride and your envious and who you are in the sense. He loved you and he says, come, I'll take you where you're at. He didn't say, Miss Kristen, I want you to give me a little bit better. Or Mike, I want you to do a little bit better. Brother Frank, I want you a little bit better. No, he said, I'll take you where you're at. I'll take you where you're sinful in the state you are. You haven't been searching. You haven't done what you've done. But I'll take you where you are at. Come. And I will no wise cast you out. What goodness of... I mean, that's a good God. That means you see somebody walking by the door. It doesn't matter who they are. Hey, come. He's homosexual. Hey, come. God can change him. He changed you. Or did he? Come. Many feels there's no hope. Bible clears God loves all. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. There's no hope for me. I can't change. You saying God is not able to change you? He spoke the world into existence. Created the universe. There's billions of galaxies and there's billions of stars and galaxies. And he can't change you? Oh, he can change you. He's just not going to force you. But you come to him, he'll change you. Listen, he can save you today. The requirement to be saved is realize you're lost. You got to realize you're guilty. You got to realize that you need that door. Heaven's door, you got to realize you need it. He's not going to come to you and force you. He's not going to drag you and tie you up and make you come in. I mean, we lived on a farm and we have cattle get out. We've tied a rope around our cattle and dragged them out with the mud and stuff with a bulldozer. We forced that old heifer to get out. But God ain't going to drive you and force your old heifers to get out, is He? No. And He ain't going to force us either. No. He took you and said, you come. I'll take you where you're at. He loves us. Notice the design of if any man enter in. If any man. The door, this thing serves two purposes. To keep out and to allow people in. Salvation is a gift to lost sinners. Listen, we must be saved. No matter who you are, it's for everybody, but you must personally and consciously come and receive Him. It's the means by you, but you must come to Him by faith. It's any man. Listen, we see the extent. We see the design of it, but we need to see the blessing of it. He shall be saved. It's completely transformed. We're eternally saved. He saves us completely. I mean, we don't. Listen, the word is descriptive. Shall be saved. Listen, it's like a person in serious illness, and they're maybe they have leprosy, whatever. He saves that person. Or imagine a man's in a storm, and he goes through the ship, and he's up and down, and there's no darkness, and you just see the waves way above. You're up and down, and you don't seem like there's no hope. But listen, He saves you through the storm. You see the word descriptive. It kind of say, I was in war, and it was a battle, and bullets everywhere, and everybody was dying, but He saved me through the battle. Salvation is like a descriptive word talking about how man was doomed and lost and undone, full of vile and wickedness, and He took you and He saved you from the judgment you deserve. It's a security word. John chapter 10, verse 28. He says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." This is a word, it's eternal salvation. I can understand that salvation is eternity. Listen, why fight eternal security? It bothers me. Why people argue? Because I can believe eternal security more than I can believe you can lose it and be saved again. Because think about it, He saved you, lose it. You save and you lose it. Save and lose it. Save and lose. Listen, I would get tired of trying to get saved because I see me. I know that I messed up today. Why would I keep getting saved because I ain't going to make it? Because I know I'm going to mess it up tomorrow, or by the end of the day, or by the end of this afternoon. My heart, my mind's all wicked. But I can see how God paid the sin debt completely, and He can secure me. He puts me in His hand. It's not mine, it's His. I didn't do nothing. That's why I know I got eternal security. I'm in His hand. Would you do nothing? What did He do? That's the question. He paid it all. I can understand that. I can believe that more than losing it, gaining it, and losing it, because that's all you're doing is working and working and working. And you end up with nothing. We see it's free from, we're liberated, we're free from the penalty of sin, for the wage of sin is death. He removes us from the wrath of God. Listen, we see the power, we're free from the power of sin. Look at Romans chapter 6 real quick. Romans chapter 6. Verse 14. It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." Listen, we are saved. He saved us from the power of sin. You were quickened. That means you were dead in trespasses and sin. He saved us. He cleansed us. Listen, He freed us from the able to go through temptation. There's no temptations taking you, but such is coming to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted, but that you're able. But with the same temptation making a way to escape, He frees us and gives us ability for the power of sin. We're no longer servants of sin. We have the grace of God to ever be able to overcome the things in our life and grow. Doesn't mean you'll make mistakes, but I make mistakes, and I see my mistakes, and I can able to continue and grow. You know, I see troubles in my life and I say, "Oh God, I don't know how you're going to do it." And God shows me. Then I say, "Wait a minute, next time I go through it, I can do it better. I can trust it." And I've gone through so many things in my life and thinking, "Wait a minute, Carl, listen, you're complaining. Stop! Because He got you through it last time. Trust Him." And I still want to complain. Still want to, "Oh, I don't know." But He got me through it before. Just wait. He doesn't give it. I feel like sometimes the pressure in my life is so heavy that I can't take no more. But he says, "I won't give you more than you can handle." I mean, it seems so tough on you. That's good. He says, "You need a little bit more." What is He doing? Squeezing you out. He gives this, and He freed us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin. Listen, the present sins. You know, one day when we get to heaven, there's no more sin in heaven.
Listen, there's no more wickedness. We're free from this body of sin. We have a glorified body. We'll be like Him. We have no more corruptible. We'll take this old corruptible into incorruption. Listen, we should be like Him, appear like He is, without sin. Ain't it going to be wonderful? He frees us from this sinful body. We can live a life and not have envious and pride in our lives anymore. We won't have anger. We can live holy like He is. Ain't it wonderful? Listen, we go through that door. That's why they're so happy on the other side. Because they see the promises what God and what God did. He changed them. Christian, He changed you. Yeah. What about the people walking by that door? What are you doing? You say, no, they're not able. God can't do them, can't save them. All right, well, I got me and mine. That's all I'm going to take care of me and mine. I ain't worried about them. That's on their own. And they're with my brother. I'm going to take care of me and mine. There goes my brother. There goes my sister. There goes my uncles. Or I can say the same thing. And then there goes your family. Your uncles and your cousins and your friends. I'm going to take care of me's and mine's. And God says, listen, I gave myself for you. I want you to see that anybody can come through the door. All they have to do is come through me. Come. If the Spirit says come. But you've got to come. We've got to draw them to church. Say, come. There's joy and there's happiness. It doesn't mean you'll go through trials. It does rain on us. It does storm on us. But we're going through those things, but we have the Creator. We have Him. We have closeness. Listen, didn't John and Peter and the Apostle went through a storm on a boat and like any other man on a boat? But what was the difference in their boat and everybody else's boat? They had the Messiah. They had Christ with them. We're going to go through storms. One day I'm going to face where maybe my wife is sick and I'm at her bedside and she's dying. I'm going to go through a storm. But I got my Christ because I'm on the other side with Him. There's so many people needs to be on the other side. Does your heart break? Does your heart burn? Listen, there's a promise. Look at 9. John chapter 9 again. The last part of it says this, and shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Listen, the door is not just a person, it's not just a proposal. Listen, it's a promise. This is the where. It's the where we have that promise, that field. It's the rest. There's no longer searching for that need. We have found our Christ. We have found it. We got Him. That's when Andrew told his brother, come and see. We have found the Messiah. We found the Christ. He went to go get his brother. We got Him. We found Him. There's peace. And then we got Him. Listen, we rest in that grace of that heavenly home. I'm not trying to get saved. Are you? Are you trying to find that salvation? Go through the door. And you got the door. There's people around you. Try to get them to the door. You can't make the horse drink, can you? But you can get them to the water of life. Grace sought me. Grace bought me. And it leads me home. That's why we can say, come unto me. He says, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Listen, that rest is refreshment. You know, taste and see the Lord is good, Psalm says. It's refreshing. Psalms 107 verse 9 says, for He satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry spirit with goodness. There's refreshment. There's rejoicing. We find that fullness of joy is not lacking. Listen, He always takes care of me. He always provides for my needs. And it doesn't matter what takes place. There's always enough rejoicing in Him. There's always a fullness of joy. They came back. Disciples came back. The 70 disciples went out preaching. And they went out and they had power over the demons. And people got saved and they healed sickness. And can you imagine if we all went soul winning this Saturday? Everybody in this room went soul winning. We all came back that afternoon and said, I got one. I got one. I got one. I got one. We're all excited. And what Jesus said?
Don't be glad that you got one. Be glad that your name is written in the book of life. Be excited about souls getting saved. But more excited that your name is written in the book of life. Is your name written in the book of life? Is it? You know what bothers me the most? When you talk to Christians and they fidgety and they're more focused somewhere out there when you're preaching the gospel and you're talking about people are dying, going to the devil's hell, and they're focusing somewhere else. The TV, phones. And it just breaks my heart. You know why? Because we're missing it. We're missing the purpose, what God has done for us. We've forgotten what He's done for us and He changed us. You know, my mama's son, my brother, supposedly made a profession of faith on a deathbed. You know what I think? I think he didn't go through the door. I couldn't make him go through the door. You say, "Preacher, sorry for you. I appreciate it. But I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about everybody out there that's got a mama, that's got a son, got a brother, got an uncle, got a friend, got an uncle, aunt, niece, whatever it is, at the door, and they're praying, God, they come through that door. And nobody cares. And nobody cares. He loved us so much. Heaven's door is so beautiful. All you do is go through the door. It ain't by baptism. It ain't by religious works. It's just through a great God that loved us. And there's so much rest, freshman, rejoicing, and there's plenty. You know, as a pastor, I think of all these other preachers, and I ask myself, what they worry about? I'm like everybody else. I got bills. I got struggles. And you say, we don't make people mad. Because you know why? People want to leave. And I say, God, I ain't here for them. What hurts me when somebody leaves is that not they don't like me. It's that they leave hurt. They leave not following Christ. They leave wrong directions. Thank God we never had that problem here. But those preachers out there, they care about one thing. They care about money. They care about status. How big is your church? How big is your school? We got about 17. Oh, we got 35. We got 45. So, I care about those 17, like Miss Abby and Miss Kylie. My daughters will be there, and with Levi, there's somebody. That's the kids that you invest your life into. We don't need teachers. We got Kristen. If she says, hey, this is something that's a job, it's all it is, then she needs to say, you know what, preacher, I need to step out because it's just a job. She's invested her life in these kids and saying, you know what, I want to help them to grow and mature to be godly ladies and godly men. If I'm doing the same thing, you know, it's just a job, I need to go. It's a service to help others. Because there's a door, and we need to get people in that door and help them grow and get closer to Christ. What a wonderful door. It's not painted. It's not great picture. It's just a plain door. What are you doing with this door? It's for plenty. It's for everybody. It's eternal salvation. John chapter 6, verse 47 says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. All you have to do is trust Him. All you have to do is come to Him. It's a condition. If you will come. So I really challenge you to think of some truths here. Have you gone through the door? Are you standing around the door and calling people and say, come. Come in. Come. You have to come through them, but you got to come. Are you too busy on your cell phones? Are you too busy your TV? Too busy in your career? You're too busy, too busy, too busy, too busy. And masses of people are walking by. Massive. Massive. And we're too busy. Sometimes we need to step outside that door. There's nothing wrong to step outside that door because we're His. And start pointing to the door. But what are you going to do with the door? What are you going to do with heaven's door? Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. As the pianists come and the song leader, I want to ask you this. Do you know if somebody's lost this morning? Say, preacher, when you're talking about somebody's lost, I can think of some people in my life, my friends, family, whatever it is. Do you know somebody? So I'm going to, before she plays, I want you to think about this. Those people you know are lost. Would you be willing to come to God today and say, God, I need you to come to and pray to God and say, I need to deal with their hearts. God, I'm asking you to give me a burden for their souls. God, there's people at my work or I work with, they're lost, and I'm busy and all that, and they're good people, and they're friendly, or some I kind of don't like, but you know, the problem is they're lost. That's the problem. If they were saved, they would change. Would you come to the altar and say, God, they need to get saved. Help me to be a witness, to be able to be a soul winner and reach them. Would you go to God and say, God, help me be at the door and draw people in? Or maybe you say, preacher, I'm not sure my name is written in the book of life. I am not positive. I know there's a book of life and I've said a prayer, but is my name written in the book of life? I just don't know for sure. Would you come? Or would you just pass by and look for another door? You say, God, I need you to work in my life and have a burden for souls or a burden for the needs of the missions. Or God, help me to learn it. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. But God, help me. Would you call me and pray? Will you pray for someone's loss or say, Lord, help me be involved in something. God, I'm surrendering my life. Would you be willing to come and say, here I am, God. Here I am. The choice has got to be made. Just the choice of a man to get saved is, if any man, it's a condition. It's up to you to make a decision what you're going to do with heaven's door. As the piano plays...